So much for that. Today we'll be in the book of Matthew. I feel like for the last few weeks I've been saying, and we're winding down on the Sermon on the Mount, and we keep winding down. That's the joy of ministry. We'll be in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 28, but let me read it for you today. It says, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Let's ask that you would, that we would hear from God today. And I don't recall if I prayed. Bill's wife Mabel last night was making, I think, was it apple butter, Bill? Or something to that effect, and the pressure cooker exploded at the end, and so she has some burns on her arm, so we're just going to ask God to step in and minister there. Father, we come before you, and Lord, we lift up Mabel today and ask that you would minister to her. We thank you that the damage was not as great as it could have been. But Lord, we're asking that you would bring healing to her arms and part of her face, that you would just minister powerfully and perfectly and strengthen them. Lord, be with her son-in-law who was in that room also. And again, Lord, we believe that you are the God who watches out, even in the simplest things. And Lord, we come before you, and for these next few moments, Heavenly Father, I ask that you would give us ears to hear. And Lord, I know that we are continually bombarded with information and thoughts and commercials and news and media, and our phones ding all day long. Lord, would you allow us to have the gift of discernment today, that we would know the difference between man's wisdom and your wisdom. And Lord, I just thank you for all that you're going to do. May the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, and would you become more and I become less. This would be my prayer this morning, but give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is coming to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. I've just said that, and I hope you realize that what's going on in these Sermon on the Mount is that Jesus is literally giving you kingdom life. He's literally telling you this is what life looks like. He's giving his mission statement, if you're a business person, or vision statement, and he's literally saying, if my people who will walk with me in the midst of life according to my ways, you will find stability and hope and strength. And so in this last couple of verses, he basically gives us three different contrasts. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, the broad road and the narrow road. He talked about two trees, one good and one bad, each bearing fruit according to its nature. And literally the idea there is that our character will make a difference in our conduct. And lastly, he begins by talking about two houses and two foundations and one storm. And see, I believe oftentimes we don't think of it this way, but Scripture is always asking us to make a decision, and Jesus is literally asking us today to make a decision. He's literally saying, choose, step up to the plate, follow through on this stuff. One of the things that strikes me is that I've never seen Jesus give out participation ribbons. He's not simply asking you to show up and listen and be a part of the crowd. And I think one of the things that we need to wrestle with is that you and I, as followers of Christ, and I include myself in the midst of that, we have become too comfortable with listening. We have become too comfortable with hearing words and nodding our heads without any thought of responding. Have you noticed that? It is so easy as we are listening to our friends or our spouse or our children that they'll say, ask us something, and we'll sort of just shake our heads yes, and we assume we're communicating something, but there's never any thought that anything is going to ever take place. And Jesus right here is saying, that's not what I'm looking for. Don't shake your heads at me and say yes if there's no thought in taking that other step. So if you look at that first verse, he says, therefore, everyone. Again, God is always inclusive. He always opens the doors for those who will listen. No matter what your background or where you're at, this message is for you. Everyone who hears these words of mine, and you need to understand that was a tremendous verse there because he was speaking with authority. He is literally saying, these are my words. As the Son of God, your Messiah, these are my words that I want you to understand. And he literally says, when you hear the word of God and you put them into practice, it's like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And then he contrasts it pretty simply. He says, then there's the foolish man who hears these words of mine. Again, there is authority in his words. The whole crowd that was standing there, Jesus knew that there were going to be some that were going to hear and respond, and he understood that some were going to be more foolish and just sort of go along with the crowd. The foolish man hears the words and does not put them into practice. He is foolish and builds on the sand. So it seems to me, as I look at this scripture and I have been reading it through over and over again, Jesus is basically saying there's two choices in this story and narrative. The choice is you can be wise and follow after God, or you can be foolish and not make any decision or dabble with it, but not wholeheartedly commit. I mean, those are the two options, and really, I know that's not the norm. Nowadays, as Americans, we always want one more option. We want one more idea. We want one more door that can open. We're never seemingly satisfied with only two things, and yet Jesus says these are the two choices everyone in this room needs to wrestle with. I don't know if you've ever noticed it before, but notice the houses that are being built. They're exactly the same. If you were to look at those houses, if we were to take some pictures of them and you put them side by side, the structures would be the same. Maybe the colors would change, but the house itself was the same. They were building the same things. They look alike. Have you noticed the storm? And what's interesting is that both of those houses, both of those men, all of us here will face storms. And you'll notice that Jesus uses the same words for each house. It says, the rains came. Very simple. The storm is going to come. For some people who look at this passage, this is about the final judgment. And all of us, Christian or not, will stand before God. Keep that in mind. But it says, the rains came, and the streams rose, and the winds blew, and beat on the house. But do you notice the difference in the results? It says here that the one that was built on the rock stood. Therefore, anyone who hears my words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain came, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears my words and does not put them into practice is a foolish man who has built his house on the sand. And the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. So one of the houses stands, and the other one falls. And the difference literally is the foundation. And Scripture says that the wise guy, the wise person, built on the rock, and the foolish built on the sand. And so what's sort of interesting about this passage is that this isn't really a hard sermon. And in fact, one of the things that strikes me is that everyone sitting there listening to Jesus, they got it. It wasn't that hard, much like you and I are thinking, how is he going to get 20 more minutes out of this? It's just an impossibility. It's that simple. They heard with their ears, much like you do and I do every single day. We hear so much over and over again. In fact, I think we're at a place called overload. To put it in computer languages, I think most of our hard drives are full up to the top. And that makes it even more and more difficult. But it says, the ones who heard, it's the literally the putting it into practice. It's the follow through. It's doing what you know needs to be done. So if you look at this passage simply, you look and you think, okay, the big deal here is the foundation. So I want to ask you some really simple questions. What's your foundation? And I want you to wrestle through that, because a lot of us, we've been in church for long enough that we know that's one of those simple, it's Jesus. You just say Jesus and let it go at that, right? But what's really your foundation? What is the rock that you hold on to in the midst of stuff? A little bit farther than that, what are you building? It's either on the rock or the sand. One of the things that was really interesting in New England, if you go there, at least where we are in the western foothills of Maine, the houses were always sort of an interesting grouping, because usually, in fact, we had friends and lots of people in Maine, what you did when you they weren't a people of credit, let's put it that way. And so oftentimes families would literally put in a foundation and they'd put a deck over it and they'd tar paper it. And they would live there for 3 or 4 more years. And when they got enough money, they'd put on the next story, and they'd enclose that. But if you look at the houses in Maine, one of the things that you realize, especially the old farmhouses, there are a lot of doors. Any idea why? Because they started with one little room, and then they got a little bit more money, and they put another one on, and then they started another one, and the rooms, there was no rhyme or reason to them. There was never an end result. It was just, we have one more kid. Or we need to get to the outhouse. And oftentimes, I mean, that old house that we had, it was really neat. We had this neat old farmhouse and a tiny little garage with a 2-seater in it, and then the barn, so you could do everything in one place. But there was no thought about what this would actually end up like. So Jesus is saying here, what's your foundation? But he also goes a little bit farther than that, and he says, what are you building? We don't think about that much anymore. And he says either that foundation is going to be on the rock or the sand. It's either going to be a stable foundation or it's going to be shifting. Either it will stand or it will fall. And that's what Jesus was trying to communicate. That's what he was dealing with. So again, today, this morning, what would your answer be? If you stood before the throne of God, what would your answer be to those two questions? Do you recognize, for those who don't know the Lord and those who do, there is going to be an audit someday? The rock, the foundation that is built on Christ, that's the one that's going to last. And see, this just isn't a message of hearing the right stuff or even believing the right stuff, but it's believing and doing. And it's almost as if within our own American culture, we have separated those two things that in fact, one of the amazing things to me, how many people in America, if you were going to give it a percentage, believe in God? Any idea? 70. Anyone else want to take a venture? 94% of Americans believe in God. Have you noticed that being lived out on a regular basis? See, but we have made believing in something paramount to doing something about it. They actually say that for people who believe in the scriptures, and for lack of a better word, the evangelical community, they basically roughly are about 10% of our culture at this point. We always have this idea that we have this grand majority waiting to rise up when we really don't. So the rock is placing ourselves in the midst of Christ, and we fashion our lives around God. And we begin to look at his word, not simply to read it and think it's a nice thing, but begin to apply it into our lives. We begin to experience living in our world with a God view instead of our own. When redemption is what it all boils down to, and having a relationship with him that transforms relationships and hearts and circumstances and situations. And Jesus says, if you're going to follow after me, and if you begin to put this into practice, and if you ask God to minister to you, to enable you to do that, the end result will be a solid life in eternity. That's what the scripture says. But let me translate it in a very different way, because a lot of us, and I used to sort of have this idea of my own self, if I did all of the right stuff and I followed all of the rules, that meant that God had to take care of me. And he does. But when I said take care of, I thought that would mean no upsetness, no division, no brokenness, no hurt. I mean, there may be having a couple bad days every so often, like once a month, it was a bad day. I think that's what a lot of us sort of look like when we think we're building on the rock. The scripture isn't saying if you're following after Christ, it's going to be easy. In fact, he says there's going to be trouble, and those who will follow after him, there will be consequences. And one of the things that strikes me, if you look at even the foundation of the Alliance, A.B. Simpson, our founder, a tremendous man of God, did great and amazing things, started a missions movement that literally has transformed the world, struggled with depression. And if you read his autobiography, they call it Wingspread. I'm not sure if you have to read it anymore, but we had to read it through seminary and through college, and you'd think, man, he had some great vacation time. They would send him to England often for 2 to 3 or 4 or 6 months at a clip. You hearing that, board members? They sent him to England for 3 and 4 and 6 months at a clip because he had a mental breakdown, and he struggled with depression. Or Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, who literally spoke on a regular basis to crowds of 10,000 people. There would be times when they literally, he could not get out of bed because he was so sorrowful. Or the old-time missionaries you read about that literally would pack their clothes in a coffin. Imagine that. They were leaving England and the United States, and they would pack their clothes in a coffin because they knew the fields that they were going to, they were never going to return. And it was better to be prepared. See, so many of us, we have this idea that if we're following after Christ and we're building on the rock, that there isn't going to be any brokenness or hardship. And yet, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that the storm came, and the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall. So the promise is, as you're walking with God in the midst of the storms, and we are all going to face them, we will stand. We will not fall. The foundation will not give way. But the other promise is, if we are building in the sand, And as I wrote in my notes, building on the sand means it's a matter of shifting inclinations. It's a matter of short-lived appetites. It's transitory aims. It's varying from the judgments of men. It's the fashion of the day. Whatever works. Our own consciences. Jesus says if we live that way and our culture lives that way, the house fell down with a great crash. So Jesus was literally speaking to us today, and he is saying, you need to take heed of this. You need to notice this. He literally is speaking to us, and he's saying, you know what? You need to watch how you build your house and your foundation. Never despise the little things, for small bricks make a large house. So where are you at today? And it may not be a salvation issue right now, but for some of you, you recognize, you know, I'm not been building on the rock. I've been doing my own thing. I've sort of been dabbling with this stuff. And Jesus is challenging us today to look at life from a bigger perspective. And I want to challenge you this morning, maybe to ask some bigger questions. And not simply, are you getting through? I think culturally, that's sort of how we live our lives right now. We are so jam-packed full of stuff and busyness and events and circumstances and sporting events and taking care of our kids and making sure that they're satisfied and doing the selves with ourselves and our spouses and trying to be successful in everything we do. And those aren't bad things, but it gets to the point where you don't even notice how you're living or what you're doing. Have you noticed that? You can get up and go to work and get up and go to work and get up and go to work and get up and go to work. And time flies by. It was interesting, when we had the speaker come from the Christmas tree boxes thing, I was talking to Kitty, and I said, well, that last speaker came about 2 years ago. You know when the last speaker came? 7 years ago. It just seemed like 2 years ago. I wasn't paying attention. And so often, you and I, as followers of Christ, we don't pay attention to the rock we're building on. We just get busy. And so can I bring you back to that question once again? What's your foundation? Really, really, what do you fall back on when things cave in? When the storm begins and the water rises up and it begins to beat on your door, what do you fall back on when the cops are in your driveway? Or you get that phone call? Or you're sitting in that emergency room or the funeral parlor? What's your foundation? What are you building? The bigger picture here. When you look at raising up your kids, and honestly, we've all struggled with it. Most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, what we want for our kids is they have a great job, and they have stability, and they have benefits, and a nice house, and maybe a good marriage. But where in that lineup is, I want my child to be fully devoted to Christ. Because if they have all of that stuff but don't have Jesus, their foundation is faulty, and their house is going to fall. So do you ever think about the big picture in light of eternity? And I literally believe someday we're going to stand before God and the audits, he's going to say, how have you done? How have you lived your life? And this isn't a losing your salvation. This is the reward end of things. Did you live wisely? And you can almost imagine that. I mean, I can remember when I had a kid, you know, the speakers would say, well, when God puts your life on a video screen, and you're going, that could never happen. Do you know how many of you are pictured every single day? I mean, every single day. I mean, how many of you have those Amazon series things? What's the one in your house? Echo. Do you realize Echo records every single thing that you said and keeps it backed up on data? Isn't that a little scary if someone could just listen to? In fact, someone just got convicted in a murder case because he killed his spouse and forgot that Echo was recording the whole thing. So think, God is bigger than Amazon. When you stand before him, and he says, how have you lived your life? Is he going to bring you back to October 8th, 2017, and say, remember when that pastor guy, he gave you Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 through 24? What are you building on? Were you wise or were you foolish? See, each of us today has some decisions to make. And maybe each of us need to do some thinking. But my hope is that every single one of us here today will decide to be the wise person. Will decide to come before God and honestly surrender everything into his hands and say, Father, you're God, I'm not. I just come before you. It's all yours. My resources, my relationships, my home, my kids, it's yours, Father. I want to be a person that builds on the rock. Will you guide and direct and speak even louder? Because there's the promise at the end. And we have two choices to make. Either the house falls or stands. But it has to do with the decisions that we make this morning. So where are you at? And what do you long for? And what are you going to build on? The choice is yours. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning and we have moved through this narrative quickly. And Lord, it's a simple passage. This doesn't take a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon. It just takes us being honest with you for the next few moments. Lord, some of us have been building amazing houses, and they're filled with good and amazing and wonderful treasures and good stuff. But Lord, we know that there is going to be a storm. And the rain's going to come, and the streams are going to rise, and the wind is going to beat on the house. And Lord, I would long that every single person that's here this morning would have said, I choose to build on the rock and not on the sand. And even this morning, that we're going to feel comfortable not doing anything or not even talking to you about this. But you long to build us to withstand all that life has to offer. And you long to bring stability and hope into our homes. And you long to move in our midst even right now. So would you be at work? Would you enable us to think and make some decisions, be it this morning or the rest of the afternoon, that we would come back to this thought of what's wise and what's foolish? And give us the discernment to know the difference. And Father, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I ask that you would bind aside any demonic schemes to hinder our thinking and thoughts this day and put off what should be taken care of this morning. And we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you carry the countenance of Christ this week. May you build on the rock so all things will stand. And all of God's people said, amen, and walk with him.
And they'll know we are Christians by our